Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, number 6, Gwynn's Island Botel. Morning, Chip.
Morning. Kathy, I'm going to go right into the presentation if you can catch the lights there. Gwynn's Island Botel is requesting authorization to remove all existing piers and construct 4 new floating piers of various lengths to a maximum of 190 feet channelward of mean high water to support the dry stack storage operation, fueling, sewage pump out, and to create 18 wet slips and 7 staging slips, and also to dredge 3,700 cubic yards of subaqueous bottom to provide maximum depths of minus 6 feet measured at mean low water adjacent to the Gwynn's Island Botel facility, which is situated along Milford Haven in Matthews County. The project is protested by an adjoining property owner. The Gwynn's Island Botel facility is owned by Mr. David Fitch and is situated along the southern shoreline of Milford Haven in Matthews County. The current facility provides dry stack storage for 171 boats and is located adjacent to the U.S. Coast Guard's Milford Haven Station, approximately 450 feet east of the Gwynn's Island Bridge. This is an aerial from 2002. Development along the shoreline is a mixture of residential and commercial properties. The existing facilities include 3 staging piers without slips. The longest of the piers extends approximately 125 feet channelward of mean high water. Project was reviewed back in 2004. This is a depiction of the currently authorized facilities. The pier has not been built, and that dredging has not been built. Mr. Fitch applied to dredge 1,530 cubic yards of subaqueous material to create maximum depths of 6 feet and add 5 slips to an existing pier and construct a new 180-foot-long pier with 10 slips. During the April 26, 2005 commission meeting, you considered this application and approved it in a modified form. Specifically, the commission reduced the length of the proposed pier to 140 feet channelward of an existing bulkhead and denied the dredging on the east side of the proposed pier. They had also proposed to dredge over on this side. The dredging and construction authorized under that permit, which was 2004-2050, has not begun, and the 1,100 cubic yards associated with the authorized dredging would be conducted in conjunction with the dredging proposed under this current application. The piers and slips authorized under that previous application are proposed to be replaced by the piers proposed in the current application. So, having said all of that, this is what's currently proposed. In the current application, Mr. Fitch proposes to hydraulically dredge 3,700 cubic yards of subaqueous material within a 100-foot by 200-foot area east of the area authorized to be dredged under the 2004 permit. When coupled with that permit, the total material to be dredged would be 4,800 cubic yards, resulting in the basin being extended approximately 180 feet toward the east. 4 floating piers are proposed to replace the existing fixed piers, and the piers are intended to support fueling, sewage pump out, launching and retrieval operations, the temporary storage of boats recently launched or awaiting retrieval, and 18 wet slips. 6 of those wet slips are designated for transient use. This is the plan view depicting the additional dredged area. The soundings are important to note here, and they're kind of difficult to read, but across this, you're going minus 2, minus 5. That's still in an area that had been previously dredged. Minus 2, a foot and a half, 2, minus 3, and then the 6-foot contour is offshore of the proposed dredge area. The last depth within the dredge area is minus 3 feet. This is a these are 2 cross-sectional drawings of the dredge area, and again, I just wanted to point out the shallowness of the existing contour at the channelward end of the proposed pier. The material is proposed to be hydraulically dredged, and is proposed to be pumped into a 150-foot by 300-foot bermed upland disposal area. The return water will be routed along a drainage ditch on the east side of the property. There's currently a drainage ditch there, and there'll be a second ditch constructed. This drawing was provided by the applicant to show the relationship between the marked channel and the proposed pier. I added the red line in here to show the approximate southern edge of the channel, but you can see that it's still offshore, well offshore of the piers. This is the NOAA chart of the project location. Project is in here. The piers associated with the facility are situated within a basin dredged from a sandbar that separates the highland from the 14-foot deep channel in Milford Haven. The channel is approximately 200 to 250 feet wide in front of the marina. This dredging proposal includes the removal of a finger of sand that remains along a portion of the north side of the dredge basin and impedes access across the channel to portions of the dredge basin as well as existing and proposed piers. The T-head of the floating pier is proposed to be located approximately 40 feet landward of the existing minus 6-foot mean low water contour. According to the soundings provided in the application, the channelward end of the T-head is situated in water that's currently only 2 to 3 feet deep at mean low water. This is that same 2002 aerial that I showed previously. I've added scaled representations of the proposed pier and the additional dredge area. You can note that this finger of pier, or finger of sand that I'd referred to. Project is protested by Mr. and Mrs. Allen Bitterson. They are opposed to the expansion of the facilities and state that no need for the expansion is cited in the application. They note possible adverse impacts on existing shellfish resources and question whether proposed transient slips for larger vessels will necessitate additional openings of the Gwynns Island Bridge. Finally, they suggest that use of the east side of the proposed fueling pier, eastern side, actually that would be the western side of the proposed fueling pier, may encroach on and adversely affect U.S. Coast Guard Milford Haven Station. This is the Bittison's property here. This is the U.S. Coast Guard Station. This is the Gwynns Island Botel facility. This is the fueling and sewage pump-out pier, which is right on the property line. This is a schematic that shows all the dimensions of the floating piers. I added it mainly in case it needed to be referred back to. VIM states the additional slips can be expected to add incrementally to the pollutant load on the creek and recommends the marina continue their participation in the Clean Marina program to lessen potential adverse impacts. They also recommend that dredging be avoided during the months of July, August, September, December, January, and February if there are productive shellfish grounds in the vicinity. They note, however, that the sandy material proposed to be dredged should not normally stay suspended in the water column for very long. Finally, VIM states that the other aspects of the dredging, including the proposed depths and buffers, are acceptable from a marine environmental viewpoint. The Department of Historic Resources did not comment on this specific application, but during the review of the previous application, they stated that the facility was adjacent to the earthworks associated with Fort Cricket Hill and noted that the plans called for fencing off of the earthworks and routing the pier around those earthworks. The Health Department found the project acceptable and stated the area was condemned for the direct marketing of shellfish and that the project should not cause an increase in the size of that closure. They added that there was that their approval was based on 18 seasonal slips and the current dry storage of 171 boats. The transient vessels may not be accommodated until the additional sanitary facilities are actually installed. This is the existing shellfish condemnation map. The Health Department has stated the project will not cause an increase in that size of the closure. Again, this facility is located right in this area. The pier and dredging will encroach on private oyster ground leased to Mr. Robert Payne. We attempted to notify Mr. Payne, but his letter was returned as undeliverable. He did not comment on the previous application last year. Staff's not aware of any significant shellfish resources in the immediate vicinity that might be affected by the project. However, shellfish relaying activities are conducted approximately a third of a mile east of the facility down in this area. The red channel marker can be seen in this aerial, and I've added a line approximating the southern edge of the channel, which extends to the bridge. Again, this is the Bittison property. This is the Botel and the Milford Haven Coast Guard station. So recent ground shot of the existing facilities. Staff has discussed the need for the expanded facilities with Mr. Fitch. He stated that he will receive a boating infrastructure grant to provide 6 transient slips and diesel fuel at the facility, provided he can secure the necessary permits. He has also received a conditional use permit from Matthews County to expand his dry storage capability. The proposed expansion and reconfiguration of the piers is designed to accommodate those uses. When reviewing the application to expand the facilities during the April 26, 2005 public hearing, the Commission agreed with staff's recommendation to reduce the length of the proposed pier to 140 feet channelward of the existing bulkhead and to not allow any dredging on the east side of the easternmost pier. The reduction in the length of the pier was based on a cross-sectional drawing that indicated the proposed 170-foot pier would reach the edge of the natural channel. Accordingly, we felt that a 170-foot pier might adversely affect navigation. Additionally, since the stated use of the east side of that pier was for canoe access and side two mooring of small boats, we did not believe the additional dredging was warranted at that time. The current application is designed to support the expanded dry storage operation and the mooring of transient vessels. Although we had navigational concerns with the length of the pier proposed in the previous application, soundings in the current application indicate the proposed piers will not encroach on water that is currently deep enough to accommodate typical boat traffic. In fact, the dredging is proposed to extend 40 feet beyond the end of the proposed pier. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, we recommend approval of the project with the inclusion of our standard dredging conditions, which would require a pre-dredging conference and post-dredging bathymetric survey. Additionally, we recommend a dredging royalty of 45 cents per cubic yard be required for all dredging outside the scope of that initially authorized in 1985. Happy to answer any questions.
Chip, included in the conditions, if it is approved, where does the sanitation facilities come in? Do we...
Health department's responsible for...
We don't need to make that part of the permit if it were to be approved?
I don't believe so.
Or condition. Okay.
I don't believe so.
Any questions? Chip?
Chairman.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you. I have one question. In your narrative, it indicates that the Coast Guard raised the concern that boats using the fuel and pump-out pier stay within the extended property lines and not tie up in a manner that impedes navigable traffic. Just for our benefit, can you show us on a slide what that concern might look like, where that is?
Let me show. I think that probably shows it best. This is the property line. All right, let me use this. Property line is right here. The placement of that pier, I believe, is limited by the openings and the concrete pad for the dry storage facility, so it has to be located all the way to that end of the pier. I think what the Coast Guard would be concerned with would be use and blocking possible traffic on that side of the pier.
Is that where the is that where the fuel pump is going to be?
The fueling is out towards the end, and the sanitary pump out is a little bit closer inshore on that same pier.
Thank you.
Have a lights, Kathy. Any further questions of Mr. Neikert? Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it. Is the applicant here or represented? Good morning, sir.
Morning. My name is David Fitch.
Swim in?
Yes, sir. I just want to make sure that you could before I ask.
I can go this high.
I don't want to get in trouble right off the bat.
I can go too high.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir, of your God?
I do.
Thank you, sir. State your name again and who you represent.
Good morning. My name is David Fish. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commission Board Member. Good
morning, sir.
My name is David Fish. My wife, Patty, and I own the Gwynn's Island Motel, which we purchased in January of 2003. Back then, we just bought our dream, a family-run business on the water in a quiet community that we could run with family help. I'm a career changer. I'm not a marina man. I changed my career based on this. After the first year of operating the business while cleaning up the property, our customers brought us up to speed quickly with what the boatel needed. I've always said in my past career, your customers will always tell you where you need to grow and improve and where you could potentially grow. And the first place they asked for was more docks. So in 2004, as Chip mentioned, we sat in front of you and submitted a permit to dredge 1,530 cubic yards of spoils to a depth of 6 feet mean low and install a floating dock that would accommodate 7 boats and add 5 slips to our existing fixed docks, totaling 12 additional tie-up spaces. As you know, staff recommendations were to reduce the length of the pier to 140 feet, and that wasn't a concern. But to delete the dredging on the east side of the pier was disappointing. It was painfully made aware of us that we did not communicate our full intent or needs of the permit. The area that we requested to dredge is a sandbar with very little water depth at low tide, and I think you saw that on the overheads. If we did execute the permit on the recommendations, we would have had a floating dock next to a sandbar, making only one side usable. So we accepted the permit, licked our wounds, but never executed it. We changed our focus, again, based on customer feedback. And they wanted overnight slips for the transient boater and more inside storage. We failed our building. So we went back and addressed our storage capacity and transient boater issue with the Virginia Department of Health and Marine Division, Preston and Ann. They informed us about the boating infrastructure grant and that we qualified if we were so inclined to submit an application. So in 2005, we submitted an application for the boating infrastructure grant, Tier 1 funds only, to install 160 feet of transient dock space with water and power. Currently, Matthews County in Milford Haven does not have transient dock space available. Increase our gasoline capacity, add diesel fuel, and upgrade our restrooms. We're proud to be one of two mariners awarded funds from the big grant in 2005. In 2006, we submitted an application to the County of Matthews on our upland build-out plan. And that was to change the entrance to the property to lessen the impact of the residential property, relocate the mechanic shop, the same reason, build 3 70-boat storage buildings, one at a time, and add an additional outside 50-boat storage rack, build new bathrooms attached to the first dry stack building. In September of 06, we awarded a conditional use permit from the county on the above upland build-out with 11 conditions, none of which are a problem. We then hired Kevin Curling of Curling Environmental to consult us on redesigning our docks to accommodate the big ranch and how to enhance our existing VMRC permit. The application in front of you, permit number 062522, is to dredge 3,700 cubic yards of spoils, deposit a berm out back, and dewater by ditch. Replace all existing fixed docks with floating docks. Reconfigure the existing splash basin for a safer navigation by eliminating the L from the main 125 by 6 foot pier, extend it to 140 foot by 6 foot, and add a 30 by 10 foot T ending. That's enough to stage 7 to 8 boats for boatel operations. Extend the gas service dock from 64 feet by 7 feet to 140 feet by 7, making for a safer fueling and pump out experience. It's been commented that the Coast Guard sent me a letter of no issues with my permit. They've asked me to restrict the mooring or on that side of the pier. Currently, right now, we do gas and moor on that side, but there are no tie-ups. They're there and gone. And we will continue that process. We can fuel on either side of that pier. Install a new 148 by 6 foot floating pier with an 86 by 10 foot T ending, enough fingers on both sides to accommodate 18 boats, 6 more than we've been previously permitted for. At this time, our intent for the 18 slips are for the transient boater and boatel customers only. Thank you. For your time, do you have any questions?
Any questions of Mr. Fitch from the Commission? Thank you, Mr. Fitch. Kevin, do you want to speak? Good morning. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir, of your God.
I do.
State your name and who you represent,
I'm
please.
Kevin Curling, Curling Environmental Consulting. I am the agent, and if I can get this turned back on, I'll just use drawings. I'll address the design layout a little bit. One of the issues that this operation has always had has been some traffic patterns. This is the existing conditions, the three existing piers. Presently, his fuel pump is on shore. The only way to fuel up is to bring your boat up into here and tie up here. This right here is the U.S. Coast Guard boat ramp, and then their mooring piers are farther over this way. It's basically a one boat in, one boat out operation because of the throat here between these piers. The 04 permit did allow for 12 wet slips. One of the comments in the hearing at that time was the fact that the design, there was a lot of unused space in the design layout. The new layout, of course, we're going to take the fuel pump and put it at the end of the pier. Presently, he only has gasoline as part of the big grant. He'll also be able to provide diesel fuel, so that which will basically allow pretty much anybody in Milford Haven to use his facilities for fueling. The pump out, he does have an existing pump out on the pier. Presently, we're leaving that in the same space. If you notice, there are dotted lines next to the piers here. That is, I basically put that in there. It's a 15-foot setback from the pier itself. So if there was a boat moored along the pier, then your effective fairway to get in and out is from there over. Same thing for these seven holding areas are just to give you an idea of how many boats can be held on that pier specifically for onloading and offloading. He does have four slots that he can onload and offload boats in the splash basin. As far as the new mooring pier, we have pushed it over a little bit farther to the east. The original pier would actually come right off the corner of the bulkhead and come out. Two reasons for that. One is the transient slips. By definition, in the big grant, a transient slip is for non-trailerable boats, which pretty much puts you over 30 feet. So these slips are designed at 40 foot long by 20 foot wide, or boats up to 40, over 30 feet up to 40 feet. And then these are the six marked with a T are the transients. Putting two slips along the outside of the T effectively gives him a total maximum mooring space of 86 feet. I don't think you'll get a boat that big, but it would be nice. So that's the six for the larger boats are at the outboard end of the pier. My fairway is based on the setback from the pier if you had boats moored along it, not against the pier itself. And the 45-foot fairway is based on a 30-foot boat, not on a 40-foot boat, because they can work in and out through here without having to get through the narrowest part of the layout. And then, of course, the dredging on the east side is enough to get around on this side and then get into the rest of the slips. I would like to address the shellfish closure. Chip didn't necessarily mention it. I did talk to Dr. Kroonenbergs about this. There are two types. There's actually three types of closures in this area. There's a seasonal closure, which basically means you can't take shellfish during the summer months. You can, but you have to relay them to a clean area. This slashed area is a relay closure. You can take them from there and depurate them for the 14 days. This hatched area is a prohibited zone, which is no taking of any shellfish for any reason. And that is based on the fact that the Coast Guard station has a sewage treatment plant, and that is the closure around the sewage treatment plant outfall for the Coast Guard station. The Botel is, I don't know exactly where that line is on the shoreline, but the Botel is in that prohibited zone. So that's why that closure is there, is because of the sewage treatment plant. Another thing with Mr. Fitch did mention the build-out that the county has approved for to increasing the storage space of the marina, or for the dry storage. The layout design is not necessarily to address that issue. However, improving the traffic flow of boats getting in and out of Botel will improve that. As far as the wet slips, it's to rearrange the existing authorized slips and to allow for the transient slips for his for the boating infrastructure group grant. I do have a few ground shots, and if I can switch over to go low tech, I'll use the overhead. Chip. I forgot how to use it. It doesn't like me anymore.
We locked you out after you left.
I was going to say, I'm not allowed to touch anything anymore. Switch it over. Yeah, no. Hey, it's fingerprinted.
Really did lock him out.
He comes back and he starts breaking stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, if not, I can pass them out. But
Andy's
there,
here.
I think we got it.
These are actually taken in the water at the end of where the proposed mooring pier would be. And it's basically a series that's I'm taking shots all the way around. Of course, we're looking at the marina or at the Botel. These dirt piles right here, I won't call them dirt piles, that is the fort of Cricket Hill. There's actually a little cannon sitting right there. As far as that is an historical site, it's well known, well documented. The Corps of Engineers permit for the dredging is requiring a hard fence around it during any construction activities, and that has always been a condition of all the permits. This is just moving to the right. His existing piers. Here's the beginning of the Gwynns Island Bridge. Coast Guard Station is here behind there. Looking down towards the bridge. This is across Milford Haven. Can't really tell it. Let's see. Right here is right here is a public boat ramp and a restaurant, and as you go on around the way, this right here is the Rose Old Fish House. That building right there, and I will pass these in so you can see it better, that is the Gwynns Island condominium units. Those are three-story condominium units. Go on around. On this one, of course, you have the day marker. Right here is actually a pipe that marks the outboard edge of the dredge cut. looking upstream. There's a building right here. That is the oyster house of Sopco's oyster house. Of course, you can see the private piers there. And then the last one, this is the tree line between the boatel and the adjacent property owner. There is a drainage ditch along there. And the last picture I have is actually taken from across Milford Haven from the public boat ramp. Of course, you can see the boatel, the tree line, the trees, and then some adjacent houses on down the way here. And I'll pass those up so you don't get a better look at them.
We're going to have to keep those for 30 days, too, Kevin. Thank you. Lights, Kathy.
If you have any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Curling? Mr. Tankard.
Just one brief question. You mentioned Marina Boatel, which is fine. To give me a feeling, is it more Marina than Boatel, or is it more Boatel than Marina?
It's Boatel.
Okay, and kind of percentage-wise?
Right now, the Boatel is dry storage.
Okay.
It's right now he's authorized to store 171 dry storage boats. The original request for the 12 wet slips was to improve those storage of those boats, because right now he basically operates on a reservation. To get your boat in and out, you have to reserve time, because he's, like I said, it's a one boat in, one boat out. The original 12 slips were to allow some of the dry storage boats stay in the water over weekends, short term, instead of having to pull them in and out four times. The new transient slips are specifically for boats transiting the area. You know, short term, come in, go into the county, and then leave. So really, the only, if your definition is Boatel is dry storage and all the boats there, and Marina is boats coming through, six slips will be for a Marina, the rest of it's all for the Boatel.
Any other questions of Mr. Curling? Thank you, Kevin. We may have further. Anyone else want to speak in support of this project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? Yeah. Yes, sir. Come forward. You state your name, please.
John Thompson.
Are you with the bar?
Yes. I'm a member of the Richmond Bar, represent the Bittersons.
Proceed, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm going to address what I view to be deficiencies in the application process, and it goes really to whether it's a hotel or a marina or both. And Ms. Bittersen will address more of the merits relating to the impacts of this project. And I'm very low tech, so I'm going to hand out just a piece of the application, if I may, and ask you to look at two parts of it. I've got one page.
Thank you, Counselor.
Just two things I want to call your attention to. This is a part of the application. On the second page, there's a little arrow in the right column. It's a little hard to read, but I will read it, and you can follow it, I believe. The first dot under number 3, description of project. The purpose must include any new development or expansion of an existing land use and our proposed future use of residual land. And underneath, we've got three items numbered, none of which address the additional land use. This is the notice. This is the description of the project that was advertised for comment. And this is a legal requirement that you advertise the project, the whole project that's going to be under consideration. On page 13, which follows page 8, oddly enough, it's the last page of these three handouts. We've highlighted the existing wet slips 12, dry storage 171, proposed wet slips 18, dry storage 171. So the 171 is what was there. The statement here, it's not an implication, it's a statement, there's no increased use of the land-based development. Now what I'd like to do is hand out some pictures. Again, low-tech, I think one of them was used by Mr. Niekirk.
All right, sir.
So now the top picture on your packet, which has a photograph attached to it, I believe has already been used as an exhibit by either Mr. Matt Kirk or Mr. Curley. The color photo shows in color what the enlarged black and white shows, and that's simply what the present state of the development is. It shows the Bittison residence under the picture. You have to take the picture off to see the residence, but you can see it's adjacent. The present state of land development is one building, and you can see the piers. Now, with the aid of laptop printing, desktop printing, we have superimposed on the second photograph what the application represents to the public and to the commission is being approved. What we have done is simply superimpose the proposed piers on the existing land-based development. Now, the third picture, we have superimposed on the second picture, in effect, the proposed and approved for CUP purposes, conditional use permits. And this was approved this past year, just before this application was filed, of the expanded facility, which would, according to newspaper accounts and according to the application of the CUP, would store 450 boats. And that's a radically different project than 171 storage facility. And Mr. Niekirk mentioned that the health department had approved a facility for 171 boats, not for 450. Now, why is this important? The staff report recommended that it had considered the statutory requirements, Section 28.2, 1205 of the Virginia Code, which does require that you consider all other reasonable permissible uses of state waters, marine fisheries resources, tidal wetlands, adjacent and nearby properties, water quality. I didn't see much that made mention of water quality. But when you move on to Section C of this section of the Code, it says, no permit for a marina or boatyard for commercial use shall be granted till the owner or other applicant presents to the commission, this commission, a plan for sewage treatment or disposal facilities that has been approved by the State Department of Health. So that's a glaring deficiency, it seems to me. If this commission is going to approve a project, marinas that support landside development, which the staff report said it does, he didn't say it was 450, but it is 450, 450 units, then this section of the code, I believe, absolutely prohibits granting of the permit they're seeking today. Now, that's the code. Now, as you gentlemen are quite aware, you've got your own set of Virginia Marine Resource Commission criteria for siting of marinas or community facilities for boat mooring. Well, this is clearly the siting of a marina, because a marina means any installation operating under public or private ownership which provides dockage or moorage for boats, exclusive of paddle or rowboats. So this is a marina, and we're talking about siting a marina. Now, Mr. Billison will talk to you more about the previous application, which is the first time, as far as I can tell, any slips were authorized. Even though that permit didn't ask for wet slips, it got wet slips. And at that point, I guess you can argue it became a marina, but it's becoming a whole lot more of a marina in this application. Now, the goals of the commission under 4 VAC 20-36020 are eight in number, but the eighth one, I think, is on the point. The goal of this commission is to promote best management practices which protect and, where possible, enhance water quality. I haven't seen any reference to that in the staff report. It further sets forth buffer zones between marinas and shellfish beds, and it establishes three levels. It says 0 to 50 slips, an eighth of a mile in all directions. 51 to 100 slips, a quarter of a mile in all directions. Over 100 slips, a half a mile in all directions. Well, I guess the really interesting question is here, what are we talking about in terms of number of slips? It's not 18. It can't be 18 if we've got 450 boats sitting on a rack in buildings. So that's the proposal. So I think at a minimum, the commission has to consider what the potential impact on those oyster beds is of 450 boats. That has not been considered. Only the 18 in the water, obviously, are what's being considered. And that, of course, is that passes that test, because 0 to 50 is an eighth of a mile. And according to the staff report, the closest oyster bed is a third of a mile. Still, we get kind of close. Now, the policy stated in 4 VAC 20-360-40, and which really is the guts of what I'm suggesting to you is the deficiency in what we've seen happen here. It says, a comprehensive siting review process for boat mooring facilities requires permits from the commission is necessary to ensure that permit decisions comply with statutory requirements and the legislative mandate that our natural resources be maintained and conserved for present and future generations. As the size, density, complexity, and range of services offered by a proposed facility increase, so shall the detail in design and implementation of best management practices in its siting, construction, and operation. Minimizing adverse environmental impacts shall be the ultimate goal in all phases of planning, siting, construction, and operation. And that one goes on. But that's a clearly stated policy. It begins by saying a comprehensive siting review. It can't be comprehensive if it takes into account 171 units when we're planning for 450. General siting criteria. Item number 3. Marinas shall have sufficient upland area to provide all necessary parking, stormwater management, BMPs, fuel, and sanitary facilities without filling wetlands or subaqueous bottom. And I'll move to number 6. Projects that by their cumulative impact will result in dense concentrations of boats in one area will be critically evaluated as to their impacts on natural resources. However, the density in populated areas, concentration of ships in a single facility may be justified to prevent disturbance and undeveloped shorelines. Well, that issue really isn't addressed. We haven't seen any addressing of the fact that there's a large marina right across the haven. We have no information on what the traffic is through the bridge, what it's likely to be with 450 storage units, plus new slips to accommodate transient travel. Then there's specific siting guidelines in 4 VAC 20-367. Now, there's no reference in the staff report to having considered any of these items. They refer to having considered the statutory requirement, but they just refer to it. Item C, I'll just pick a few of them. Dredge material disposal areas for initial as well as future disposal needs should be clearly defined and designated. Well, the disposal area that you've seen is right smack in the middle of the parking lot for the building, if not included in one of the buildings. Dredge areas should be no more than 1 foot deeper than controlling depths in the waterway. Site-specific stormwater management BMPs are required, such as buffer strips, grass swales, wet detention ponds, and permeable parking surfaces. I didn't see that anywhere. The only BMP, which could hardly be called a BMP, is a ditch to haul off the dewatering from the dredge. A solid waste disposal and recovery plan facilitating marina user access shall accompany marina development plans. I haven't seen that. We move on to 4 VAC 20-360-80, best management practices. In order to reduce discharge of non-point source pollutants to state waters, decommission will require the applicant, to demonstrate how appropriate BMTs will be incorporated into both the upland development plan and associated with the facility, as well as erosion sediment control plan. Commission may require, as a condition of any permit issued, that BMP structures be completed before any slips can be occupied. And then I don't want to wear you out with this, but 4 VAC 20-360-20, siting criteria checklist. And this goes on and on. The criteria like water depth, then undesirable and desirable. Seems to me as a minimum, those should have been addressed. Do we fit or do we not fit?
I don't know if they've been addressed or not. I have a number of questions that I will ask staff in reference to your assertions on, as I observe, shortcomings or deficiencies in the application. But
well, that's it, Mr. Chairman. I would welcome any questions from the commission.
I guess the question that I would have, you have brought up a number of technical issues. Am I correct in understanding that your client's concerns are based on the technical deficiencies of the report, or are there other items of concern as well?
Well, they have other concerns about the actual physical impacts, but they are also interested in the integrity of the process.
I understand.
They live next door to this
process. As is this commission. Any questions for counsel? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Grab, you come forward, please. I want to make sure that what counsel has indicated, although they may not have been outlined and specifically addressed in the report of your staff, he's brought up a number of different issues that I don't have the specific reg in front of me, but if he's reading from it, I deem them to be valid requirements. Is this application mature and ripe to be before the commission today, considering the issues that he has brought up, or does he make points where certain things may be included in the report but were not mentioned, or where are we in reference to his comments pertaining to alleged deficiencies in the report?
Most of counsel's comments seem to be related to the projected use of the upland as permitted by the conditional use permit. It's not too dissimilar to the county approving, 100 units on an upland parcel of property for which there's a 1 acre. I mean, while we realize there may be 100 people that at some time may use the community pier, we look at the number of slips that are on the community pier. And I think from the standpoint of being mature, you know, this facility with 18 slips, whether you have 100 or 450 or 1,000 dry storage. At most, you'll have 18, including the six transients that are using the facility on a regular basis. I mean, granted, you may have a number of boats that are out in the haven and fishing, whatever, but we've looked at that, and we think the actual upland use is really a matter for local zoning. Now, the issue that he raised regarding the health department, my belief at this point is that the health department has recommended approval of the facilities to address the 18 slips and the expansions. I mean, if the health department were turned around and say, well, you know, if this has to be modified, I think he's absolutely correct. You know, we would not issue a permit if the health department were saying we have to do something else. And what comes to mind normally is the number of restroom facilities. If this were a bona fide marina where you had a number of slips, they'd have various things that the health department was requiring. So we believe that it's ripe or mature from the standpoint of the commission's jurisdiction, and was the reason that we had placed it on the agenda.
Okay.
He mentioned things about closures, but again, the health department is saying that, you know, they're not going to impose an additional condemnation, if you will, based on this structure.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Grab from the commission? Counselor, you have anything to add? Thank you. Who would next like to speak in opposition? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Alan Bittison. My wife and her brother are the adjacent property owners.
Will they be testifying, speaking?
There were others who will be testifying. My wife will, and some other people.
All right. Will those that will be testifying in this matter please stand? I swear you all in at one time. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give before the commission will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Mr. Bettison, proceed, please.
First, as Mr. Grab did mention, now, he might not have been tied into transitional slips versus wet slips. There are no transient slips approved by the health department. Look at their letter. It says no once additional sanitary facilities are constructed and appropriate sanitary fixture installed, transient vessels may be accommodated. Only seasonal slips are mentioned in the health department letter, which is the exact point that I'm getting at, that the council was representing. Specificity, what are you being asked to approve today?
Okay.
Now, I'm even less technical. I only have two of these.
We'll pass them down. We'll have to keep them for 30 days.
You were told that this is a mixed commercial and residential area. The photographs you have to me show it is a residential area. There are two commercial structures shown in it. One is the boatel. The other is the Narrows Marina. The Narrows Marina has a current permit that gives it 138 seasonal slips, 33 transient slips. Now, Mr. Fitch said no transient facilities available in the county. I don't have a big power boat, so I can't say whether there's transient or not. I can say right on the other side of the bridge is the largest marina in the county. It has twice as many seasonal slips as any other marina. It has by far and away the largest number of transient slips. This is high concentration in a narrow part of a body of water. There's no reason to expand the boatel. I've heard a lot of talk about the application that was approved in 04. I have not heard anybody say anything about the basis this commission gave for approving that application. The application was approved because Mr. Fitch said, I am going to use that application solely for my existing customers. I will charge nothing for use of the slips. He said, I didn't want to build it because I didn't have space for canoes or kayaks, he does not have canoes and kayaks that right now that his existing customer base is dry storage. But to me, it says, you have an application. I come before you. I say, I'm going to be a good guy. I'm not going to charge. Okay, now I've got that in my pocket. So he comes to you, instead of saying, I want 16 slips, he says, all right, we've got 8 slips. Yeah, I got them by telling you they're free, but forget that now. I've got it. We're not going to review it. He did talk about changing the traffic pattern on his boatel to make us, to accommodate us better. Yeah, he changed it so that now every once the facility is built, every boat coming in, every car coming into his parking lot, headlights will be straight directed at our house. No screening provided on his property. Got more copies of these pictures.
Thank you.
Those pictures are provided for to show you two things. The picture is standing on our property looking at the boatel. This is 20 years ago, all right, maybe 15, 18, where the boatel was constructed. Do you see the tree line between our property and the boatel property? You know how fast trees grow in Virginia. Best management practices. There's no grass or anything else to absorb runoff. The other thing you see in that picture is you see a rack for storage of boats. You heard that he is authorized to store 171 boats. What that shows is a dry rack storage for 30 boats. He is in violation of his permit. 171 boats. There was a marina health inspection this past summer. He had over 200 boats. Plus 2 boats in the water. That's a violation of his permit. You heard comments about best management practices. 1989, and I do mean 1989, the owner of the boatel was told that the drainage ditch being used to handle storm water runoff from the building could not handle that water. The boatel was told to direct the water into the wetlands on the other side, the Coast Guard side of the property. This was made a condition of an after-the-fact permit that he had to get because the building was too close to the property line, too close to the water. It was permitted for 100 boat storage. It was built for 171. So the building's too large. The state says don't use the drainage ditch. The owner uses the drainage ditch. You heard Mr. Fitch say, I've owned it for 4 years. He's still using the drainage ditch. He told the county that he would have work done to stop drainage in October this past year. This is what he told the county, didn't tell me. And by the way, I have the documents if you want to look at them. He is in violation of best management practices for handling storm water from his existing building. Now, this would not be an issue if he wasn't seeking to expand his facility. The sewage condemnation associated with the sanitary facilities of the Coast Guard is correct. What happens when they use better technology? What happens when they determine the need for that amount of closure? We have lost oyster shores from this project. They cannot be recovered. That's why, to me, to say it's today it exists because of a sanitary facility, tomorrow might be a different reason. I can go on things like your practices say don't dredge if it's less than 3 feet. I hear we're going to dredge because it's less than 3 feet. 50 feet from channel, this is 200 feet of dredging. Violates all of your siting guidelines. The final thing I want to do is... This is higher tech because my wife was involved in it.
That's always good, isn't it? Yeah.
One of the real interesting thing, what you have is a composite of what he's been approved, what he's requesting. And one of the things that composite clearly shows is you've got a dredge area that extends from half of a pier. So half of that pier is at deep water, half of it needs dredging. That pier right now is a hazard, not only for me, but for my grandchildren. When they kayak up the Haven, they are forced by the pier to go into the channel to get to the bridge. There's enough water, you don't have to go through the channel under the bridge, but that currently exists as a hazard for kids, kayaks, small boaters. This is not the where to build a larger marina. This is not the way to work, where you say 171, 171, where you forget the past and concentrate only on a particular document before you. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Bettison. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. I'm Lois Bettison, and I am the adjacent property owner. I'm in opposition to the dredging and the wet slips in this proposed in this application. This expansion will have a major impact on the way we are able to use our land and our waterfront. My husband spoke about the runoff and our problem there. I want to speak specifically about how we use the waterfront, our pier. It's going to have an impact on fishing, on crabbing, on swimming. The second thing is the increased boat traffic that this enlarged facility is bound to draw and cause will have additional impacts on the wash of our shoreline. Our shoreline is, Mr. Nyquist's photograph shows you, is approximately the same as the Botel's shore waterfront. We have no hardening at all, and of course it's beginning to wash.
And I presume that pier that you saw at the angle is your pier. Yes, ma'am.
The third thing that I am really concerned about is the quality of the water and the effect that this proposal will have on oyster shores in the area. I am an oyster shore leaseholder. That lease has been in my family for four generations, so it's pretty important to us. Right now, half of it is in the condemned area or the prohibited area. Half of it is used by sea farms in their relay operation. This application proposes dredging shores, not our shores, but shores in his dredge area. So my question to you, are we just giving up on the oyster shores in Milford Haven? Because once they're dredged, they're not going to come back. I have two VIMS reports historically that I would like to read portions of. The first is from 1993 when the Botel sought authorization to realign their piers in the permitted size and place. It's all part of the restoration project then. And in the VIMS report, it said, it is our opinion that the individual and cumulative adverse impacts resulting from this activity will be minimal, provided no additional slips are created and no long-term mooring takes place as a result of this project. No additional slips and no long-term mooring. And in 1998, when the Botel sought to expand the launch and retrieval capabilities by dredging 177 cubic yards and constructing 151-foot-long pier. That's compared, I think, now to 5,000 cubic yards of dredging and 190 feet of one pier. Incremental losses of marine resources over time can result in large adverse environmental impacts, which may not have generally been authorized if associated with a single project. The current proposal may be viewed as an example of such a scenario. Therefore, we recommend the review be guided by an enhanced awareness and emphasis on environmental policy rather than the single consideration of the impacts associated with the present proposal. So I'm asking you to please carefully consider this. It definitely is going to have an impact on our land and our home, but more important, it's the impact it will have on the area, on Milford Haven, a direct tributary to the Chesapeake Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Who's next?
Feet gone to sleep, sorry.
Might have too. State your name, please, sir.
Feel free to stand. My name is Bob Michael. I'm a resident of Williamsburg, Virginia, and I come representing my wife and myself as boaters and lovers of Milford Haven. Many times my wife and I have enjoyed boating visits to Milford Haven. And why do we do that? The answers are simple if you've ever been there, because of the natural beauty of Milford Haven, the peace and the tranquility that pervades there. Our overall concern is that by seriously increasing the boating traffic in Milford Haven, which approval of this permit will certainly do, is going to shatter the tranquil nature of Milford Haven, if not the utter beauty of the place. One of the things you notice if you boat in Milford Haven is there's a marvelous balance among the people who operate and enjoy that water, a feeling of cooperation and collegiality among the working boats, among the power boats, among the sailboats, and that's because they're roughly in balance numerically. If you get a serious increase of motorboat traffic, and I have no brief with motorboats, some of my best friends have motorboats, but if you get a serious increase in one element, you're going to shatter that balance. Now, when commissions such as yourself grant a permit, obviously there are consequences of that permit. Unintended consequences and intended consequences. One unintended consequence of a significant increase in boating activity will be an increase in vehicular activity. That's beyond the scope of your commission, I understand, but it's certainly something that needs to be considered by someone. Increased boaters mean increased cars, which means increased traffic, which means increased pollution, and more strain potentially on a fragile bridge at Gwynn's Island. Now, the intended consequence of your action, of course, would be significantly increased boating traffic. Now, that has two impacts. One, a pollution impact, and two, a safety impact. Among power boats, predominantly, they are powered by outboard engines. The vast majority of outboard engines are two-cycle engines. Now, there's some great four-cycle engines out there, but they're relatively expensive, and the migration to that technology is relatively slow. So you increase the population of power boats, you're significantly going to increase the incidence of in-the-water and atmospheric pollution. I've owned a boat with a two-stroke engine, and I know the noise is there. The stuff goes in the water, and the stuff goes in the air. You're going to have a significant increase in that. The other impact is safety. You may have noticed from the overheads and the displays that Milford Haven is relatively large. Hills Bay and the Narrows is relatively large, but you have this choke point where the Gwynn's Island Bridge is. Now, for medium to large boaters, that is the only way into Milford Haven. That is the only way out of Milford Haven. There is another way out to the east. It's called Hole in the Wall, but if you know anything about boating, you don't go there if you have a medium-sized boat. Even experienced watermen don't go out of Milford Haven that way. Well, they do, but they do with considerable care and trepidation. So people who visit Milford Haven are visiting Milford Haven. They're not cruising through as part of a large float plan. They came there because they want to come there, and they come there causing an opening of that bridge. Now, what happens when you have...
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up. We've pointed about an hour already to this. We can just move along just a little bit.
Sure. Scenario would be increased activity of medium to large size boats. Holiday mornings, Saturday, Sunday mornings, those boats are going to be trying to get through that bridge. They're going to be queued up in a narrow channel. Now, I'm concerned when there's more than one boat, and I've tried to do this, accompanying me, waiting to get through that.
Yes, sir.
Several boats is hazardous and dangerous. Last point, and I'll leave you. Several years ago, my wife and I were privileged to take a cruise to New England, and we stopped at a place called Block Island. We noticed on Block Island hats that people were wearing a shape of the island, and there was a phrase on the hat that said, one of the last great places. I would submit that Milford Haven is another one of the last of the great places of which you will act to preserve them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir? State your name, please.
Robert Morrison.
You've been previously sworn. Go ahead, Mr. Morrison.
Yes, sir. My wife, Paige and I are property owners on Gwynns Island. My wife, Paige, was born on Gwynns Island on Milford Haven, directly across from where the Botel is now located. She has a lifetime attachment to Gwynns Island and Milford Haven, and I share this attachment with her. We are currently building a property on Milford Haven, on land that has been in her family for several generations. Gentlemen, we are strongly opposed to the permit being requested by the Gwynns Island Botel. We realize that there are economic factors driving this issue. It is unfortunately easy to be short-sighted when considering economic considerations, actions that would appear to be to generate additional revenue for the Matthews County area. The fact is that Gwynns Island is the attraction to many families for part-time, weekend, and permanent residences. A real-world factor that must be considered in approving this permit being requested by the Gwynns Island Botel will result in a significant additional boat traffic and result in more frequent and longer openings of the Gwynns Island Bridge. This is a real-world factor that would not be well-received because it would add a daily inconvenience to the many residents and visitors who cross the Gwynns Island Bridge, and it would be an inconvenience for these extended wait times. The added openings would predictably result in more operational problems with a bridge that was opened in 1939. We feel strongly that this permit being requested by the Gwynns Island Botel should not be approved. My wife and I are advocates of being a good neighbor, but any expansion of the Gwynns Island Botel would be a classic example of Mr. and Mrs. Fitch not being good neighbors. I'm now a retiree, and I came away from my 42 years of working experience with many valuable lessons learned. One of those lessons was to make the right decision and take the right action at the right time. This philosophy is very applicable for the Virginia Marine Resources Commission today. The only right decision for the long term for Gwynns Island and Matthews County is to disapprove the request by the Gwynns Island Botel. Please protect Milford Haven for future generations. Thank you.
Any questions from the commission, from gentlemen? Thank you. Yes, ma'am. What's your name, please?
Elena Sibel. I'm a resident of Matthews County. I won't, in the interest of time, not repeat what other people have said.
Thank you very much.
I was raised in a country.
Repetition does not mean reinforcement.
I see this image of the Botel as, let's say, it's a dairy farm. And my main interest is in the increase that Mr. Fitch was permitted to go from 171 to 450. Let's say they're cows. Yes, there'll be more milk to sell and more revenue for the county. But what about the manure, the runoff? All those other things have not been taken into consideration. I did speak in front of a Matthews County hearing a year ago, and I asked, was there an impact study done? The supervisors looked at each other and said, has there been an impact study done? No, it hasn't. I don't know if it's your authority to send it back home for an impact study, but socially, it has a social impact. I'm a social worker. It has an impact on the community. This is a two-lane highway that the Botel really is the choke point for traffic. Matthews County does not have a single traffic light. This will be the reason for having to have a signal light. This changes the whole quality of Matthews County life. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Fitch, you have 2 minutes to wrap up the presentation.
Does the commission have any questions that were raised by any of my opponents? I have any comments to make. Go ahead. Any questions?
Go ahead, sir.
Two comments. There's been noted that 171 is the boat storage capacity. There's a handbook that's published by the Marine Division of the Health Department that tells me how many positions I can have upland based upon the fixtures I have. I have enough fixtures in my current facility to house 297 boats upland. No overnights. I've addressed that with my grants and my uplands. I can now build a bathroom based upon my appliances with the health department to accommodate my upland build-out and my in-water usage. That goes right next. So I'm in compliance with everything we need to do. It is not 171. I'm permanent for 297 currently with my current bathroom fixtures. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Schick.
This project I think is a good project. The public hearing to do the upland facility has been done. That process is over. It's water under the bridge. This our approval is not going to stop many of the problems that these people have come before us. This approval actually will help alleviate some of those problems as far as backup traffic at the fuel dock, pump out station, and things like that. So I think that they're already using Green Marine procedures, and hopefully they will continue to use that and help in creating buffer zones and whatnot. Again, a lot of those are county issues, and they will be addressed through that. Boatels are environmentally friendly. Matthews County is growing very fast, and we need facilities out there for boats. And this provides one. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to approve the project as presented by staff.
Let me check to see if there's any further discussion.
I'll second it.
With motion made and seconded by Mr. Holland. Further discussion, Mr. Robbins and Mr. Tankard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share some of the procedural concerns specific to the application that were raised by the protestant council. And I have a question. I have two questions. I have one question for VIMS, if I may. And that is specifically the application, as we have it, is for a site with 18 wet slips and 171 dry slips. And it's been brought to our attention that there may be as many as 450 slips on the dry storage spaces. How does that impact or weigh on your findings and recommendations with respect to the environmental impact?
Mr. Robbins, in regards to 297 permitted dry storage units, 450, I believe we've addressed in our comments a concern regarding the incremental increase in dry storage units. It's difficult to quantify those impacts, but obviously the potential exists, secondary impacts to the marine environment due to the discharge of bilge water, holding tanks, refuse from the boats. So we maybe have not taken into account the 450 requested dry storage units, but the comments do speak to an incremental increase in capacity of the facility.
Okay, in your report, if I may, one of your final sentences says continued participation in the Clean Marina program is expected to lessen these potential adverse impacts, and the other impacts are acceptable from a marine environmental viewpoint. That is, the impacts of dredging and so forth.
That is correct. I mean, from our perspective, hydraulically dredging material that is, as reported in the application, nearly 100% sand should not result in large sediment plumes, things of that nature associated with the dredging operation.
Thank you very much. And I had one question for the agent, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
As a follow-up.
Mr. Curley?
The application that was presented to us, or a portion of the application that was presented to us by the Protestants Council as it relates to this joint permit application 062522 indicates that the number of dry storage slips is 171. And that was submitted or received in October.
Right.
And the other information they presented suggests that a Matthews County permit was issued in May of 06 in which there would be 450 dry storage slips.
How do you
resolve these pieces of evidence?
If you notice the date on my drawings, they're June, which is actually when the application was put together by me. And the present design that we're presenting is based on his present operating capacity to improve the layout that he's got, other than the additional 6 transit slips. The Upland build-out has been approved by the county. You'd have to speak to Mr. Fitch on the actual timeline of when that would occur. But even if he didn't get the build-out, we were still going to apply for what we presented.
So you're applying for the portion over state-owned bottom as it relates to a storage with 171 dry slips, or for 450?
Can Mr. Fitch answer that?
That's fine.
Currently, I don't have 171. I got over 200 boats. As I mentioned, I'm permanent for 297. Why the 171? That's what's inside my building is 171. That's why it made that number. I apologize for that. But I have over 200 and can grow exponentially based on my existing facility. The existing docks are outdated and the configuration of the basin is totally unnavigable and very unsafe. So by expanding the basin to accommodate my existing and one more building, I do believe. I have a permit to go up to 3 more buildings. My intent is to build one at a time, as I mentioned in my narrative, as I spoke. It's all based on economic conditions. My current reservation rate for inside storage, I believe I can put 70 more boats inside a building. But when I went for an upland storage capacity, I might as well have gone for the total build-out plan or best use of that property, and that's what I did. My intent is to build one building at a time as the economy demands it. I believe that what I'm coming to you right now for, slip-wise and demand-wise, will accommodate my existing building and one more building. My hope is that we'll accommodate going forward. Currently, when we launch a boat, I don't launch but 30 to 40 boats on a weekend. Most of them go away to their cottages. Very few stay there or they go back home. So the dry stack operations is different than a wet marina. I don't want to belabor this anymore, but hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you.
Mr. Tankard?
I have a couple points. One of the things I think about here is process. It seems like we do have some problems with our process. It's been mentioned to us, the Department of Health believes there's going to be 171 dry storage spaces. And now we're saying that it could be 450. So then the other thing I think is throughput. When you think about production, there's going to be 450 boats moving in and out of this area at different times. A lot greater. That's more than 2.5 times 171. So I think shoreline will erode. I think there are a lot of other environmental issues with 2.5 times greater boats than has been presented to us originally. Finally, I'm a bit concerned about dredging into a spoil area that will release into the water, the surrounding water, via a ditch. I think these three things are considerable issues that we should address.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
If I can follow up, I think in the narrative, the stated purpose in part is to accommodate the expansion of the dry storage. I guess the concern I have procedurally, part of it's been satisfied. I think VIMS has spoken to their comments and findings as it relates to the fact that we have, two discrepant numbers on the number of upland dry storage slips. But I think the other one does relate back to the Department of Health, and they in their letter say the number of wet slips will not exceed 18 seasonal slips, and the number of dry storage spaces will remain 171, as stated on the VMRC application. And I think we would do well to include a condition in the permit that requires an approved, updated sanitary facility plan from the Department of Health reflecting the proposed boatel expansion.
Will the maker of the motion accept that amendment as part of the motion?
So you're saying that you want to have the health department approve any expansion before they're allowed to construct?
I think as part of our permit, as it relates to the portion over state-owned bottom, I think we should require an approved and updated sanitary facility plan by the Department of Health that accurately reflects the proposed upland expansion.
Are you talking about the entire three buildings, or?
Yeah, I think so. I think if that's what the county has approved on the record, then that's what we should be approving.
It's to my understanding that that there already is facilities for 200 and some, which is what his permit holds. He has to get a permit to have more people. He has to go back to the health department and get a larger permit, occupancy permit. At that time, he'd have to show that he has facilities. That's a procedure within the health department that's already there. So he already has facilities, for his occupancy permit.
Okay, but as I understand this application and letter from the Department of Health, it says the number of wet slips or the number of dry storage spaces will remain 171. And I just don't think that's an accurate depiction of what we're permitting.
So you're asking to have health facilities for over 400 boats before he has them?
If that's what the county's approved for the upland construction portion.
But he's not going to be building those immediately. I don't think that's acceptable. I think the health department already has a mechanism to stop that. They will not give an occupancy permit for the new buildings if he doesn't have the health facilities for it. And I think the health department takes care of that on a yearly basis.
Mr. Grab.
I guess in my conversation with Mr. Nykerk and as a result of the comment that Mr. Bittison made, it does raise one question in that I'm advised that the health department has approved, as Mr. Robbins said, 18 wet slips or 18 slips to serve the existing upland facility. They have not authorized nor approved transient facilities. As a result, staff position would be if the transients can't be authorized, and we could not recommend approval of the 40-foot long, 20-foot wide slips for transient vessels in the absence of health department approval. If they were to reduce those so that they're the 30-foot slips, which the health department has approved, totaling 18 to serve the 171, we would still be able to recommend approval. If, in fact, the desire is to have six additional larger slips, my position would be, even if the commission were to approve that, we would not be able to issue the permit barring an approval from the health department indicating that transient slips had been approved. So
the bottom line is no permit would be issued regardless until the health department had been consulted?
As it's applied for, correct, because it's apparent that, in fact, the design of the slips, the nature of the slips, the use of the slips is not covered by the approval that we have from the health department, which merely says 18 slips to serve the upland facility.
Does that satisfy your concerns, Mr. Robbins, at this juncture?
I think it does, Mr. Chairman, as long as the Department of Health is provided with an updated application that accurately reflects the use.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Graham. I'm sorry?
I have a question.
Mr. McCluskey.
Does the upland facility have...
Who's this directed to? The applicant?
Yes, the applicant. Okay, yes, sir. Does the upland facility have adequate, is it city sewer or county sewer or septic tank? Just what is it?
I'm on well and septic system. I have two fields that drain 550 gallons per day. I alternate them every 6 months. I could combine them for 1,000 gallons a day. I've been capping actual storage capacity that goes to the field for the past 4 years. And the 4th of July, we go through 80 gallons a day. So based upon the actual consumption of waste in my fields, the health department has allowed me to construct new bathrooms that will accommodate the 450 upland and 18 slips in water on my existing drain field. That's what this was about. I have got that permit, and Ms. Smith is in the room that could help hopefully verify that.
I really don't know how to build a clock. I just want to know if you got up.
I know.
Do you have pump out facilities for your large boat?
Yes, I do.
Does it go into your septic tank?
No, it goes into a holding tank that gets pumped out. It does not go in the drain field.
Is that approved by the health department?
Yes, it is. It's grant driven.
Now, most of your boats, I imagine, are porta potties.
A good portion of them do. Yes, they're smaller vessels. Very few of them have contained heads.
And you have pump out facilities.
I do.
You make those customers use your pump out.
I sure do. It's free to them. I don't charge them.
I guess my question is that if you didn't have a dry storage facility and you got a launching ramp, and the boats came down on the trailers, will we have any control over that? Probably the use of the water, the crowding, the going under the bridge, all of that.
I've given great latitude for the opponents to state certain things and certain considerations that are out of the purview of the commission's consideration in order so that they may provide a flow of their concerns. But you make an excellent point. There are a number of things that have been brought up today that are out of the purview of the commission's consideration and should be discounted, I would think, from a legal perspective during your deliberative process. Thank you. Matters before the commission for action. Motion has been made by Mr. Schick, seconded by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay. Nah.
Motion carries 7-1. Mr. Tankard in opposition. Thank you very much. It's 12:30 now. We'll be breaking for lunch. We'll resume shortly, very shortly after 1 o'clock. Had that mix of